stay in here, but all of the ladies are actually meeting in the chorus room. Is it the chorus room? Yeah, the chorus room. You go through here, you go around back where the youth have the thing. So if you want to, you're welcome to stay here. It's regular Sunday school, but they have their ladies meeting back there. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. Just us guys and, a few ladies, well, we just do what we do best. Always is, always will be. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. There won't be any discipleship class, so I guess some of our guys that is out will be coming in. I want to talk to us today what it takes to be like Jesus. Or just simply to be like Jesus. We have to go through quite a bit. Amen. St. Matthew tells us of the genealogy of Jesus. And when we read of the genealogies of Jesus, in this world today, we will be ashamed of who we actually are. Because some of the people that is associated with Jesus' life, they aren't coming from a good background. It seems very strange to know that some of them were liars and thieves, adulterers. And in this world, when people are looking up to people to be of a more moral set lifestyle, you can't do it without the blood of Jesus. And even when you have the blood of Jesus and you're riveted and rooted, you're the one that Satan is digging deep to see if he can unroot you. And people wonder why some people in political life, how comes they are painted of a picture that is not actually what it seems to be. But it can never be, because their lifestyle got to be patterned after the example of Christ. And if you're not patterned after the example of Christ, and even if you are checking out the genealogy of Jesus, you would say, well, this is not beautiful. Amen. We see some of the women in Jesus' life, like Tamar, Rahab, Ruth. You know, some of these people, women, David's his wife. It's not a good one. Some of the men in Jesus' life was not of good repetition, coming down from, Jacob all the way down to, the end. But we know that it is not who we were that make us what we are, but it is who we are that spell the picture of who we exactly are. The person yesterday, after coming to know Christ, is not the same person. I've heard of a story once of a lady. She was out in the night on Saturday, and she came to know Christ in the wee hours of Sunday morning. And somebody saw her in church on Sunday, and she pointed out, "Didn't I see you last night or yesterday night someplace? I know you." But she said, "No, you don't know me, because the same person you saw yesterday is not the same person you're looking on today, because I've been washed, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus." So when we come to know Christ, we should be separated and dedicated. To be like Jesus means that we have to be engaged. To be like Jesus, we have to accept our roots. And our family tree is nothing that we can hide, because we are not responsible of who brought us into this world. What our lifestyles are and what it does is none of our business. We didn't ask to be brought here. So coming into this life, into this world, the type of people that we might be associated with does not paint a good picture. But we have to make sure that we are an example for the generation that we're going to be bringing up. Jesus' heritage was a multi-ethnic heritage, and it includes several unattractive and embarrassment individuals in his life. Indeed, the circumstances around his own birth might have raised questions in the mind of some. But Jesus never denies ancestry or allow others to shame him. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to understand and acknowledge our roots in terms of culture, race, gender, and repetition. Moreover, to be like Jesus, we want to avoid demeaning anyone else in our heritage. Can't point finger because we are not doing certain things and said, oh, you are such and such, you know, but we have to be careful when it comes to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus means we need to engage in world's pain. Jesus entered into human life. It was fraught with awkwardness, tension, and human dilemmas. A miraculous, but nevertheless embarrassing concept. His earthly father, who was considering quietly to divorce his mother. An outraged kin resorting to infanticide. An early childhood in the strange culture. And a return to a homeland that remained hostile and dangerous. We too are born into some troubled circumstances. We call it these days, they have a name that they place on it, that it is, what you call it there? It is a more polished way of putting it. That they are from a troubled family. That they are from, they give it different names. The word I'm trying to find or to bring out does not really slip off my tongue there. But let's move on. We too are born into some troubled world, troubled circumstances. But if we want to be like Jesus, we need to face up to the world and remain very much in it despite the trouble that it is. Jesus was and he is Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:23 tells us, God comes to us as a people and live in our world. Rather than having us try to the impossibility of or the impossible of going up to be like God, God become like us. Jesus does not take us out of our turmoils, our pain, our daily life, of our daily life, but rather walks with us as we live in a earthly life. It is a mistake to think that salvation as a make an escape for us from this world instead of engagement of this world. God has a job for us to do right here where we live, where we work, where we do all our daily activities. That's where Jesus is with us, and that's where he gives us power. According to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he gave us power to live in this world. Jesus, he comes from a poor background, grew up in wealth, but his wealth did not make him any different. You know, the scripture didn't tell what happened after he had gotten those wealth. What happened to the gift that was presented to Jesus by the wise men? Matthew 2 and 11 tells us, and scripture doesn't say clearly that they reflect anything that the Magi worship of Christ at his birth. Yet we can speculate that they may provide the means for his family to the flight in Egypt. You know, something I came to my attention a few weeks ago. Jesus was born in Asia, and he becomes a refugee in Africa. And I was actually looking and contemplating on that, and I said, you know, some of us in this world today who are refugees of political asylum from some place, or for whatever means we are refugees in a country like America, Jesus has a lot in common with us, or with who have become a refugee in these countries. Have you thought that Jesus is an intercontinental political refugee? He was, according to the scripture, the Christmas story, Matthew 2, verse 13 to 15. Through Jesus, his parent, he had was to take off into Egypt. He leave Asia and he end up in Egypt. Bible didn't tell us how long he stayed there. But he was avoiding, or his parents was avoiding, the infanticide of Herod the king, the ruthless ruler of Palestine in those days. The text doesn't say where the family stayed in Egypt. Perhaps they were absorbed into millions of Jews that were estimated to live in Alexandria at that time. Wherever they ended up, their parents probably spent all the wealth and all the riches that they had gotten that were presented to him as king when he was born. We don't know all of the scenarios there, but he stayed as a political refugee away from his homeland for a number of years. And when his family migrated back to Palestine, we can find that in Matthew 2:22-23, they did not settle in a privileged place that the wealthy and the famous would have. They didn't stay in a neighborhood that was surrounded by gated community, or, you know, you could point out, oh, that's over there like Palm Beach, that's where the rich and famous live. But they settled in Nazareth, in rural Galilee. Jesus can identify with many migrant people in this world today. He is an international savior who knows the pain of forced migration. This is indeed good news for those of us who are displaced by natural disaster, famine, or political refugees, or political unrest. Jesus knows many of our struggles today. What it means to be like Jesus is to commit ourselves to other believers. John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus. But John was not the average individual. He was an expected child. He lived in the wilderness, on the other side of the track, we might say. He lives over in the ghetto. For those days, he wore strange clothes, ate strange food. You know, we wouldn't put ourselves in the category as John, as one who's bringing the good news of Christ. Today, we are going to church, and if you look at some of the televangelists who are portraying Christ, you know, God help us, you know, they live in a lifestyle that the apostles did not even live. John was strange in his culture, yet he helped launch Jesus' career. And in return, Jesus had nothing but to give to John but praise. At one stage, John wanted to find out who Jesus really was. He sent messages from prison to say, "Tell me, are you the one which is to come, or do I look for another?" John was at the verge of the last of his life. And one would have saved a savior as Jesus is. He would have helped John to get out of his situation. But not because we are Christian or called to be Christian tells us that we are not going to go through some of the sufferings of this life. I will get back to some of these later on. But I want us to know that as Christian, we must commit ourselves to other believers. Jesus praises John for his work. He said, no greater prophet there was than John. If we want to be like Jesus, we must not pick or choose the brother or sister in God's family that we need to associate ourselves with. Some of us only want to talk to somebody who will give us something. Some of us don't want to associate ourselves with somebody who we think we're going to get something from, or who's going to get something done for us, who's going to say a word for us to get a job, who is going to say a kind deed for us to get something in this world. But we should not pick the kind of company when it comes to the child of God who we should associate ourselves. We need to embrace every believers and demonstrate the unity of Christ and the body of the faith. No matter how awkward or inconvenient it is, we need to associate ourselves with everybody. Jesus did. John the Baptist, he was a street preacher. I wonder what he would say about some of our preachers today who was telling the good news of Jesus. Probably not. The media would have a lot to say about John. The media probably would, find to dig up some dirt on him. And surely probably would find some, because he wasn't looking clean in his presentation. But John, not the outward appearance of John, but the inward appearance, was telling of one which is to come, and one who would come to save this world. He was beheaded because of the things that he said, of the people that he actually pointed fingers at. Nevertheless, news about him spread abroad, because he was the only one that was bringing salvation or bringing light to the coming of Christ in those days. And throughout the region of Jerusalem and around Jordan, word was spreading. John was illuminating the light which was to come. He was a shining star leading people to Christ. That's why the scripture claimed that God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:27. To be like Jesus, we need to admit our vulnerability, how vulnerable we are, and all to temptation. In St. Matthew, it is remarkable that Jesus coming into this world, and shortly after he launched his ministry, he was led to be tempted as the devil, just as we are. One of the biggest things with us Christians today, as soon as we accept Christ, the devil want to kill us and tell us that what you receive, in fact, is a lie. Want you to believe, especially after receiving the Holy Ghost, that you didn't receive nothing. Have it ever happened to any of you? I remember after receiving the Holy Ghost, about 3-4 days later, after hearing myself speaking in tongues, the devil want me to believe that I did not receive the Holy Ghost. Even after I hear myself, you want to convince me that it didn't happen, it was a lie. But we want to know that we are vulnerable, and Satan will stop at nothing but to get us off the track. But you know one thing? We dare not be afraid of the devil, because he can only do what God allows him to do. And if something is happening in our lives, don't be afraid. God allows him to do it. So why are we afraid? Sickness come upon us and we start to fret ourselves to death. Yes, we're going to die one day. But why die of frustration? Why not live and die of old age? Gracefully. We need to know that we are vulnerable, but never let the devil be the one to lead us from the track or off the track. If we want to be like Jesus, we must accept that temptation is real as the possibility of overcoming temptation. But we need to be open about our struggles. You're going through a struggle and you know you can't kick it. Just call a friend and say, look, man, I have a problem in this area. I just need some help. And after telling a friend, it seems doesn't work. Just come to church and just say it out. You know, I'm a liar and I have a problem with lying. And you see how far Satan run. Because, you know, if you talk some things and you wrestle with it and you can't get out of it, just expose the devil for who he is. I have a problem, you know. I can't hear stories and don't tell it. But when you come, you said, look, man, I'm a tail bearer. And see how fast the devil run from you. Expose him for who he is. We have these type of struggles. We need not to be afraid to let somebody know that you have a problem. You know, us men, the ladies are in the back, so you don't have to worry. But when we struggle with lust and fornication, adultery, and, you know, we think we are targeted, just tell your wife about it and see how far Satan left you. Just expose him. Look, I'm having problem in these areas. The devil doesn't like to be exposed. He likes darkness and to be covered up. In doing so, we honor God and recognize the power that we have over sin and encourage others to do likewise. To be like Jesus, we have to understand that wealth is a temptation. For us to live in this materialistic culture, we have to have money to keep up with the Joneses. Because if your eyes doesn't see it, you don't want it. But the moment you see it, I got to have it. And it takes money to keep up with the Joneses. The Browns on the other side can't afford it, but the Joneses, you know, and the Browns want to keep up with the Joneses lifestyle. And yet, it takes money. So they stop at nothing to live a lifestyle of the Joneses. But we have to understand and recognize it. It's a temptation. And to be tempted is not a sin, but yielding to the temptation is a sin. And therefore, these prestige, power, luxury, and authority can be a powerful tool in Satan's hands to get us defeated. But we have to understand, for me to live is Christ. Therefore, I'm dead to all of these things, and I'm alive to God. It was one of these strategies that Jesus used to cast doubt upon Satan. Satan said, all these things I give to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee in, Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, but you should worship him. We have to understand, to be like Jesus is tough. To be like Jesus, we must be able to proclaim the message and the good news of his kingdom. The life of Jesus was an open book. It was not like the life of David, Abraham, Jacob, and some of those patriarchs. But Jesus was a little bit different because he was God in a human body. And he came with a message. And when he was leaving, he said, to you, I give that message to proclaim to the world. And so we must be able to proclaim the message of Jesus to the world. He lived perfectly, a model life. But even that could not stand alone as a witness to this world today. His actions need interpretation. People want to know. They came out with the Da Vinci codes. And there are several different gospels and pictures they want to paint of Christ. They say he was a homosexual. They said he lived a fornicating life with Mary Magdalene. Well, you see, in this world you can talk about any other god. Buddha. You can talk about Allah. And everybody, it doesn't mean nothing. But you open your mouth and say Jesus. And see, you get the world in a tailspin. That's all. You don't talk about everybody else. But as soon as you say Jesus, they don't want you praying his name. They don't want you call his name. Because before he was born, he's bring trouble. The Bible said when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And when Herod was troubled, all Jerusalem was troubled with him. So they want to kill that name from the beginning of the foundation of the world. It's nothing new. But we must be able to proclaim the message of Christ. Certainly, we need to back up our words with a Christ-like lifestyle. But what we need to do is to tell others and give great meaning to those that are weak by our good deeds. We want to be like Jesus. We must live like him, talk like him, walk like him, and paint a picture of who Jesus is. If we want to be like Jesus, we must commit to change thinking and behavior. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained the values of the kingdom of heaven: money, prayer, relationship, possession, information, and power were a few of these categories he refined from God's perspective. He showed that following him will involve radical changes for most of us. It means that we are going to be undoing the ways and thinking and thought and knowledge of this world. We always done things, then we need to rethink the traditional sources. See, some of the songs that are placed in this world today, it draws a different perspective of who and what we were brought up like. One of the singers, he said, well, I want to reach the culture at their level. No, we should bring them to our level. Why are we going to wash it so clean and paint a picture that we have to get down so low? The Bible said we should be transformed and not to be conformed. And after we found Christ, we can never be the same. And therefore, when we found him, the lifestyle that we used to live after we find him, we don't have to live that same lifestyle for the world to see who he is. We have to be a light to shine so that he may come to know him. And if we're going to get down in the darkness with them for them to realize who we are, then our light is not shining. So we can't do the same thing. It's not business as usual. We have to change. It may be mean undoing some of the things that we grew up knowing that we were doing. Some of the things that our parents taught us, not that they didn't know better, or maybe they didn't know better, but now that we know the truth, Because we read for ourselves. Some of us, our parents, they couldn't read and write. They were just going by what they were told. But after we come to the knowledge of the truth, then we're going to have to point out to our parents, hey, look, you taught us this, but this is what the word of God say for itself. Because we come, they do two jobs, three jobs. Cleaning floors, washing dishes, so that we can have an education. So when we are educated, it is for us to enlighten them of the things that we have learned. To become like Jesus involves tough-minded reviews of our values and true changes in our behavior. We want to be like Jesus. We need a transformation. We can't live on a confirmation no more. We must be changed by the renewing of our mind, walking in holiness as it pleases God. What it means to be like Jesus is to serve others. The Sermon on the Mount was immediately followed by deeds in the valley. Christ-like value lead to servanthood, both in action and in word. And it was obedience action that Jesus cared about, not just summarizing our sermon, preaching sermons. He hacked upon some of the things by serving others. In St. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 29, Jesus modeled how to do the will of God by actively serving more than 25 different people. In chapter 8, in chapter 8, verse 9, he tells us some of these things that Jesus does. These include such undesirable as mingling with the leprosies. An officer of the Roman occupation troop, the sick, the demon possessed, the cave dwellers, those that dwell among tombs. That's the outcast. That's the one we pass on the side of the road, working for food. The only reason why I do not contribute to some of these lifestyle, it is because some of these people that you see at the side of the road, they're working for somebody. I just learned of this in a seminar I was in a couple weeks ago. That people place them in strategic places where they make money. And there's a bigger boss who's collecting it from them. At the end of the day, all the proceeds that they collect goes to somebody else bigger than them. So if they say they want food, give them food. I know they're not going to take food to their big boss. The big boss don't want the food. They want money. So when you give them something to eat, it goes in their belly. But when you give them cash, it goes to somebody else who has them placed there to work for them. If we want to be like Jesus, we got to remember the outcasts. He said, as least as you do to one of these, you do it unto me. So we must befriend those that are weak, who are under oppression or without Christ. Like him, we need to become a friend. A sinner says in St. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, he offered much more than just religious information. He served. So if you want to be like Jesus, we have to be a servant. We got to remember the homeless. God bless the ministry of the outstretched arms, brother and sister Waller, and some of the others that are serving in these areas. We know that we need to be like Jesus. I was, the devil is a liar, and I'm not even going to believe what he says, what he does. He tried to get me off track today. But I tell him that God is the author and finisher of our faith. To be like Jesus, we need to affirm our leaders, honor our leaders. We need to uplift our leaders. Paul said, we should consider them that labor among us. And that's why we should honor our pastor and his wife. Tell them, both in words and cards, messages, little notes, how much you care about them. Jesus wants us to do that. Jesus calls us to help others to grow. If we want to be like Jesus, we will share the joy and the risk of working together with our brothers and sisters. By doing so, we indeed are living a model life to Christ. You don't have to go far in this in last days. Just look on the television, internet, perhaps in our own communities, to find preachers who will tell you that Jesus wanted to be well and wealthy. But the unorthodox version of Jesus and his gospel, there's nothing wrong with prosperity or to be healthy. Jesus supports wealth and he supports health. There's nothing inevitably wrong with being well and wealthy. But as a basis, as a theology, to tell people that you need to be healthy and wealthy, it paints a different picture from what Jesus has preached. It is far from the good news of the gospel that he preached. Prosperity preachers usually have no trouble attracting large group of followers, since they appeal to the basis of human instinct, the desire to avoid suffering. They can't be healthy. You know, if I'm unhealthy, something is wrong with you. It's a sin. And if you don't have money, then, you know, you're living a poverty life. Look at Jesus. He was not desirous. Nothing on him pointed out to be a king. The life of Jesus on earth is far from being an example of the health and wealth of the gospel that the theologians are preaching today. It is true that there is no record of Jesus ever being sick. And as the Son of Man, it could be said that Jesus had all the wealth of heaven at his disposal. But when he came to earth, he emptied himself in his design prerogative. And he took upon himself the form of a bondservant and came in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:7. He came as a humble servant, identifying himself with weakness and travail of human condition. We can find some of these scriptures in St. Mark chapter 10, 45. Philippians 2:8, Hebrews 2:17 and 18, Hebrews 4, verse 15, Hebrews 5:8 tells us some of these things. As for wealth, Jesus said of himself, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head." St. Matthew 8:20. Jesus came to earth as a servant, and he lived a life of a servant, unconcerned about material things and comfort. In his departure, while his disciples were fighting for power, I remember Jesus stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. Peter said to him, "Lord, you dare not wash my feet," because washing of feet would show inferiority. Washing of one's feet would show servanthood. But Jesus wanted them to be servant and not to be fighting for power. One turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, would you grant that one of my two sons, one sit on your right and one sit on the left?" The other one wanted to know, "What would John get?" But Jesus said, "That's none of your business. I just wanted to be a servant. Feed my sheep." So Jesus wants us to serve not to live a healthy, wealthy lifestyle. Jesus did not come to us with a big bank account, mansion, jet, motor cars. He didn't drive a Rolls Royce, a Benz, a BMW, Lexus, etc. But he came to us as a lonely, lowly servant. And his apostles lived the same lifestyle. Paul the apostle interrupted his missionary journey to make tent to support his ministry or his mission work. We found that in Acts chapter 18, verse 3. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to stand on a platform that we are servants, not a healthy, wealthy, big, blown up, tough guy. We have to remember those that are our neighbors. Those are by the wayside. Those that are beaten, bruised, battered, tossed to and fro. I have a person who told me that my sickness was not of God. And I told him then, if it's not of God, fix it. And he stood there looking at me, and I said, one thing I know that I got out of this is that I got a closer relationship. I got a closer walk. A closer motivation. So God, keep me right here so that I can embrace you more. I can love you more than to remove this. And then I got eternal damnation. As for health, Jesus certainly reversed the effect of sickness and diseases. But he did not primarily came to relieve suffering. He demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of this dark world. Jesus did not heal everyone that was suffering. Indeed, at the hospital at Bethesda, he only healed one that was by the pool. He didn't heal all of them. He healed only one. Only to show that suffering gonna be among us. Poverty gonna be among us while we travel through these dark ages. Jesus wants us to know that in our undertaking, if we're not careful of the picture that is painted of Jesus in this world today, on radio, television, the internet, and the movie, these messages, if we absorb them, they will become a part of a lifestyle, become a part of our thinking and our belief. If what the Bible says about Jesus is true, and it is, in all of these things that these cultural images painted can be deadly, and they can separate us from God and from the world to come. So, beloved, let us, for God's sake, be separated and dedicated. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind, not to be conformed to this world, but let us look for a God who, like us, suffers. And through his suffering, we can gain eternal life. Had it not been for Calvary, you and I would have no hope. And the suffering at Calvary was not pretty. He died the death of a pauper. So to be like Jesus, don't chase wealth and in the process lose your health, because you're going to lose all of your wealth trying to get well. To be like Jesus, let us be humble, servant-wise. God bless, let us all stand.
Y esa song says, just to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, all I want is to be like him on my way from earth to glory, is to be like Jesus, to be like him. Do you want that today? Do you want that today? Just give him praise and glory. Just magnify him. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. I want to be like you. All I need today, Lord, is to be like you. Cleanse us. Wash us, Lord. Help us to be renewed today. For we know it takes a lot to be like Jesus. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.